It's good to see each one again. I'd like to share a little thought this morning. And I'd like to start in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And we'll start reading at the first verse, 1 Kings 19, verse 1. It said, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." Now, this Elijah was in a... Even though he had had a great, wonderful victory, he was in a difficult place. He was fleeing for his life. And I'm not sure, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, he shouldn't have done that. But anyway, I don't know if Elijah was getting older this period of his life, if he's getting older. But he requested, he wanted to die. He wanted to go on. And said, I'm not better than my father's. And the angel gave him provision, but he told him, the journey is too great for thee. And I want to mention that a little bit this morning about the journey of life being too great for us. Years ago, we went on a... It ended up, Kent and Lucinda went on a hike with me. My wife, she led us out near Mount Hoodoo on Highway 22. And we were going up 35-mile hike. And we had a little bitty tent and had never done anything that significant before. And the mountains out there in Oregon are not like the mountains in Oklahoma. They're a little bit bigger. And so she led us out. We went on our hike. And remember the first day... we got so thirsty for water, and I'd bought one of those little things that you could put in the water and pump it, and it would pump it through a filter, and it would take out all the contaminants, and it would filter the water for us. But we didn't have a very good map, and we noticed we met other people on a trail, and we saw some of their maps. And their maps they had showed all the water holes. Ours didn't. We were on what they call the Pacific Crest Trail. A lot of people take it. But we got pretty desperate for water. And I remember Kent we came to a little hole that was just stagnated. I mean, mosquitoes, it just looked filthy. And he said, "Dad, I need a drink." I said, "Hold off, we ought to wait just a little bit more." And he was really thirsty. And so he stuck it in, he started pumping the water out, and I was, you know, they really advertise that thing as being really good, but I was wondering if it was going to fix that little mud hole. Anyway, he got a drink, and we went on, and end up, Lucinda got sick that night. The first night, Lucinda got sick, dehydrated. She was sick. And the second night, I got sick, right towards evening, dehydrated. And I began to feel fever. Clouds were coming over. It started thundering, lightning, and I was chilling. They put up the tent, Lucinda and Kent did, and right as we got the tent up, it started raining. And we crawled in, and I was chilling. Kent got on one side, and Lucinda got on the other side, and helped keep me warm for the night. And it thundered and lightning, and here we were out right at the base of Mount Jefferson in a little bitty tent in a thunderstorm. But you know, life is like that. Life has, you know, there were times when we would walk and we'd see beautiful valleys. And by the way, that after that incident with Kent, we just went a little bit more and made a turn, and there was a nice, big, beautiful-looking pond. And Lucinda and I got a drink there. But life is like that. It, you know, sometimes there's real beauty and we really enjoy it and things are going well. And then other times, it's like an uphill struggle. It's like every step is hard to take. And I want us to know, and I believe that the journey is too great for all of us. Life is bigger than us. We don't have all the questions. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the solutions. And we don't know all the right choices sometimes to make. So we need someone to help us. And I'm thankful today we have that promise. But, you know, we might find ourselves in a place like Elijah. Said, "Lord, just I'm ready to go. I'm ready to check out. Take me home." But, you know, our timing and the Lord's timing is not always the same. The Lord didn't take him home right away, right then. And our timing and what the Lord's timing is not, it's not always what we want. But, you know, we have a promise, and I want to look at a few scriptures this morning. Psalms, the 23rd chapter, I just want to get a little phrase. Psalms 23 and verse 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores my soul. This word restore, it had about like a whole paragraph of things, and when I looked it up in the interlinear, or concordance, Strong's Concordance, it said, build again. Send again. Answer again. Bring again. Bring back. Fetch home again. Recompense. Recover. Refresh. Relieve. And rescue. You know, there are In our journey of life, we're going to have someone that restores us. Someone that helps us to restore our strength, our inner ability to go on and continue on. And I believe God has promised that. And I thought about, there's one place I believe in Isaiah talked about quiet resting places. Quiet resting places. And that's part of what restore meant. Part of the definition of restore was kind of a retreat or refuge away from. Quiet resting places. And I believe the Lord has those for us in the journey of life. When the journey gets difficult and it gets hard, He has a quiet resting place for us. He has a place to build again and to bring back, to restore, recompense, relieve, refresh. You know, we just need that. We need that in the journey of life. Elijah needed that. And the Lord knew exactly where Elijah was at in his journey. And He sent provision for him. There was an angel that... I don't know if Elijah just slept through the whole thing, but he woke up and it said coals and a cake. Apparently the angel had baked him a cake there and provided water for him. And you know, I believe the Lord is able to do that for us too. It takes a lot of... sometimes life is like going uphill. And it's like... every step, your muscle and your legs are just, you're tired and you're weary. And it's nice to be able to have a place just to divert a little bit and sit down and rest and regain that inner strength, that inner fortitude that we have to have. The journey is too great for us without the Lord's help. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, is always been an encouraging verse of Scripture. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and the 27th verse, he says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" You know, this is speaking about the church. Jacob, Israel, that was God's people. And he said, "Why sayest thou that my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God?" You know, we can question. You know, sometimes when we're in situations, we can question whether God is there or not. You know, sometimes it feels like He's not there. It feels like He's forsaken us. And He said here, "Why do you say that?" And then He goes on, He says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." You know, this fainting and weary, when David was, the Lord told him to go after the men that had stolen his wife and his substance and his things. He came across an Egyptian, I believe he was an Egyptian servant to the ones that they were chasing. And this boy was about dead. But it said, when they gave him meat and they gave him drink, his spirit revived in him. And he was able to talk with them and tell them which way the people went while he led them. And you know, there's something about the human body, water, nourishment, gives the human body strength to be able to do things. You know, you go on very long without nourishment, then you're going to get weak and you're going to get, you'll get faint.
But there's a spirit in us also, like our body, that has need. It has needs to being able to hear God's word and to feel God's presence and to feel God's blessing in our heart and our life. He said He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Those that are in their youth, that's supposed to have, you know, that's their, what's your prime of life? Your 20s and maybe early 30s. I think 40, I know you start, definitely 40, you start on a decline. So your prime is in your youth, your 20s, your 30s, well, even children. Boy, they're full of energy. They can go. But it said even the youths would faint, and the young men would utterly fall. So the journey is too great. But He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So the Lord today can renew our spirit. He can renew our inner man. And I think about the different things that sometimes need renewal in us. I think about our hope. You know, sometimes people lose hope of the future, hope of a better tomorrow, hope of something better on in their journey of life. You know, the Lord can renew our hope. He can help us to have an anticipation, expectation that, you know, it's better. Up the road is better, farther along. So sometimes our hope needs to be renewed and restored. And I thought about our vision, the spiritual vision of the church, of God, and of what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. Sometimes our vision needs to be renewed. But you know, the Lord can do that too. He can renew our vision. He said, the youth shall faint, be weary, the young men will utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they can be renewed. Their vision can be renewed. Our purpose in life. You know, sometimes we can get in a place and we begin to wonder, what am I? Like Elijah, Lord, take me home. What am I? Does my life still have a purpose here? Our zeal. You know, sometimes our zeal can begin to wane and lag behind. And you know, the Lord understands, I believe, the journey. And He didn't, you know, He wasn't willing to cast Elijah off or neglect Elijah because he was in a difficult place and running, and maybe he shouldn't have been running. But the Lord still supplied. The Lord still wanted to help him, wanted to bless him. And I believe God wants to do the same for us. He wants to be able to bring us into those quiet resting places where our inner man can be renewed. And going on down in verse chapter 41 and verse 1, He says, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. He said, let the people renew their strength. Dropping on down the same chapter, 41, it says, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That word dismayed means to be confused or confounded. And I want to say life can do that to us sometimes. Life can confuse us or confound us. He says, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And going on down to verse 13, he says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." In verse 17, he says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." So, you know, on the journey when it's sometimes dry and parched and it looks like it's difficult, I want to encourage our faith this morning to know that the Lord has a spring. He has something just ahead to sustain our spiritual life and to sustain our faith, our hope, our zeal, our purpose, and our vision. Those verses are so encouraging that Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 41 are very strengthening. And also Ephesians 4:23 talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that means to me, being renewed in the spirit of mind, that means I come to the place where I can say, I can go on. I can make it. I can make it through tomorrow. You know, sometimes when we look ahead, we see great mountains that are in life. The Scripture talks about mountains. There can be great mountains in front of us that we have to climb over, but the Lord can renew our strength and help us to be able to say in our hearts, I can make it another day. I can make it another step. I can take another step. And as we do that, the Lord will meet with us and help us. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel 37, in verse 1, he said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You know what this is a picture of? Down in verse 11, he says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." That's what they were saying in their hearts. That's what God, when he looked down the church then, that's what he saw in their hearts, is saying, our hope is lost. Our hope is cut off. All we see is desolation, destruction. It was a dismal picture. And the Lord asked him, can these bones live? He didn't say, well, sure, they can live. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, you know. Lord, thou knowest. But he took him through a process and he told him to prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, there's places in life that God helps us through that it's just God. It's just the Lord. That's all it is. He said, then you shall know that I am the Lord. There is places that we come to in life that if God doesn't help us, we're not going to make it. There's places of being able to forgive that's beyond our strength and our ability. There's things that are beyond our courage and beyond what we can muster up within ourselves. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. You know, the Lord, you know, the enemy has a way of coming in when it looks like just a valley of death, a valley of... And we look out in the world and you can see casualties all over the place. We see the effects of death. We see casualties all over. But the Lord can help us today. He said, prophesy unto these bones and things. The enemy has a way of coming in and making things look so dark, so bleak, like there's no hope, no way out of my situation. But God can begin when He prophesied and prayed. Little things started coming together, started being moving together in a shaking, and movement started happening. And what looked like death and desolation before became an exceeding great an army. You know, the Lord can change our outlook today. He can change our vision. He can change our courage. He can renew and restore things in us that maybe life has sapped out of us, so to speak. And I thank God for that today. He can just set us aside, put us in a little quiet resting place. And as we seek Him, pretty soon things begin to move and begin to shape up again where it looked like before. It just, there was no use. So I thank the Lord today that He knows the journey is too great for us. Life is too big. The temptations, I think about all the temptations that come to a person. You know, that to me, that's going to be one of the blessings of heaven. No temptations. They're all going to be gone. No temptation. Think about it. Wonderful place. But all the temptations, all the afflictions. Didn't it say in one place it talked about the days of a man's life, and he says the numbers of his days, the darkness, they're many. The dark days are many. And Jesus talked about, in this world you're going to have tribulation. What does that mean? Trouble. Tribulation is trouble. God is not going to preserve us out of all trouble. We're going to have trouble. But He'll help us. He'll help us through the trouble. If we'll hold on to Him and seek Him and look to Him, He can renew and restore our soul. And I thank God for that this morning. Appreciate your attention.